Welcome to What in God's Name. She is Shana Appel.
And he is Chris Owen. And we're here at season two.
This fall, we have a special focus on expanding the circle of What in God's Name conversation. We are asking you, our growing circle of supporters, to share your favorite What in God's Name show with your friends and social network. We believe in the value of what we're adding to the public conversation, and we need your help to spread the word. So pick your favorite show. It could be from last April, our Spiritual Dimensions of the Opioid Disaster with Dan Andrus, that interview.
Shana? That was a good one.
Pick your favorite show and share that show with someone you think would appreciate it. You can send that person an email with a link to the show or post your favorite show on your Facebook timeline so others can access it. And you can direct people to our website, whatingods.com, WHATINGODS/how-to-listen. We thank you in advance for helping us get the word out about What in God's Name.
Yes, thank you everyone for spreading the news and spreading the show.
On August 15th, Shana and I went to the Trump rally in Manchester, New Hampshire. The spirit in which we went, or at least the way I think of it, Shana, and maybe you have a slightly different take. I thought of ourselves as cultural anthropologists. We were going into a different culture, seeking to understand. And so we talked with people who were in line to get into the rally.
Yeah, I like that framing, cultural anthropology. I was thinking it was a cross-cultural experiment, but I think that captures it pretty well.
Yeah, and so we were not there as protesters, as some were. And in the conversations that
Nor were we there as supporters, as some were. And I think it's worth just letting our listeners know, Chris was able to get us some press passes. So we now have in our possession White House press pool passes from the Donald Trump rally. And that in and of itself was an experience to, you know, pass through security, as all of the media folks do, and to get into the Coliseum early and to watch people setting up and doing their spots. And that was really quite an experience. But then we left the Coliseum because we weren't really there to see the rally. We were really there to talk to people on the streets.
So one thing about being a cultural anthropologist is that we did not engage people with our own disagreement. So in the conversations, in the sound that you will hear, people will say things that in a normal conversation, I would come back and say, well, have you thought about this? Or I don't agree with that. Or I don't know what facts you're dealing with. Those kinds of things that I would have in any kind of normal conversation. That's all just to give context that you understand how we approached the people on the street, what kinds of conversations we were having, and what the purpose was. The purpose from my mind, and again, Shana, I would love to hear your reflections on this, but these rallies are a phenomenon in our culture. It's alive for a certain segment of people, but it's very alive for them. And by the way, this man is our president. So my interest was in learning about that dynamic. What is this experience like for these people who support our president? And especially the rally. What is in this event that draws you? And so part of our reflections today will be about that.
Well, you're far kinder than I would be, maybe. I definitely wanted to get up close and personal and find out what makes these folks tick, why they're there, whether or not they had been there before, and what, you know, their experience was. Vis-a-vis these things being a phenomenon, yes, they are a phenomenon, a slightly terrifying phenomenon from my perspective because of the cult-like quality that I have seen depicted on the mass media, the news, et cetera, and then that I experienced firsthand there. So
having brought that up, Shana, let's listen to some sound. My question for these people is, what draws you to a Trump rally? What draws you to a Trump rally? I found these answers fascinating.
Yeah, I did too. Let's take a listen.
sir, I do a podcast. Are you at all interested in answering a couple of questions for the podcast?
Oh, sure.
So, thank you, first of all. My name's Chris.
Gary.
Gary, nice to meet you. Are you a New Hampshire person?
Yes, I am.
So am I. Have you been to a Trump rally before?
Yes, I have.
Great, because I have not.
Okay. Well, you're in for a thrill. You're in for a thrill.
Yeah, so tell me about that. Tell me about that thrill and kind of how you experience it.
It just makes you feel that, you know, everybody is together working for the American way. Okay, you go to his rallies. There's no hate. There's no bias. He tells you what he's going to do, and he does it. He doesn't blow smoke, and that's what we love about it. And it'll be an exciting rally, as they all are. And you can see by the number of people in a place like Manchester, which is not like a major town in the country, and you look at the turnout.
Yeah, part of what you said that I found really interesting, which I imagine to be the case, but I, you know, it's important for me to hear that from somebody who has experience with it, but your expression of kind of the unity, the sense of people being together and united, is that a fair understanding of what you said and how you experience it?
Yes, that's exactly the way. You just feel united. You feel like he knows, you know, how you feel, what you want, what you need. He puts that first, and he's working for America and the American people.
Hello, sir. Your attire is attracting me to ask you if you would. My name's Chris.
Chris, how do you do?
Nice we do you. We do a podcast. Would you be interested in having a couple of questions while we walk along?
Happy to.
Great. Have you been to a Trump rally before?
I have been to 3 or 4 other Trump rallies.
Great, because I have talked to a couple of folks who've been to. I'm trying to get out, block the wind because it's in my microphone. So excuse me for standing over here. So since you've been to some Trump rallies, I'm curious how you experience them. What's it like?
It is the most amazing thing to see President Trump talk in person. He is a brilliant orator. He has a great connection with the people who are in the audience. And he, you know, he speaks the truth. He's not a politician. He's really doing things to make America great. Going to a rally is pretty exciting. It's way better than going to see it on TV. The television doesn't really cover what the immensity. I mean, here we have a line that's, I don't think the press will ever cover the length of this line, but it's quite remarkable.
Can you say a little bit more about the atmosphere inside once it gets going? Because,
well, it's electric. It really is electric. I mean, people are very excited. They're glad to be there. Everyone is very happy, and it's nice to have a large group of people that are of one mind, which is supporting Trump.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the conversation. Have
Thanks
a great evening.
Much.
You're
Enjoy
welcome.
Your
great.
Thanks
Thank
very
you.
Much.
So, Shana, what I take away from that is this expression of unity, how so many of these people, when they talk about being at a Trump rally, they talk about how we are all one. They have this feeling of unity. So here's a generous reading of this. And the generous reading is that there's a basic human need for belonging. People need to feel connected. It's just one of the things that makes us human, and it's a universal desire. This transcends cultures. It transcends gender. We need to feel connected. And so there's something actually life-affirming or life-seeking in these people who want to feel connected at a Trump rally. They're trying to meet a basic human need. But it's an important thing to note. It's not the be-all and end-all to lift this up, but I always feel like we have to try to find the common humanity as best we can here, and that is a universal human desire. We do need to feel connected, and people who go to these rallies feel connected to each other.
They absolutely do.
The problem is the cost at which this happens. And so I identify a scapegoating mechanism at work in these rallies. the unity that people feel comes at the cost of demonizing some other. And so in the scapegoating mechanism in general, what happens is, we all know, a person, a group of people is designated as the goat to be sacrificed in order that we, who are not the goat, can feel good and okay and unified and connected one to another.
And you know, what's so interesting about that, Chris, I totally agree. And I think you've captured that aspect of the gathered body beautifully. I couldn't help but wonder, folks seem to express the joy of being in a place where, you know, everyone is so unified. That was one thing that I began to wonder about is, you know, what is going on in their world that makes them feel so dissociated from, you know, what is the power center? And is it the fact that so much of what's happening in culture right now is, as you know, as we begin to decenter whiteness, as we begin to decenter misogynist maleness, toxic masculinity, if you will, you know, we begin to decenter heterosexuality as a norm, you know, as all of these things become decentered, do they just feel the fabric of their world coming apart? And so we come to these rallies where there's a bunch of people who think just like we do. Let me also just say that we are all capable. We are all inclined to circle up with people who are just like us. It's one of the reasons in a faith context, we talk about kinonia, which is a Greek word for the open and inviting circle. So as people of faith, we're encouraged to circle, yes, but to always leave openings in that circle so that people who are not yet a part of the, you know, circles are fun when you're in them, but if you have to approach one from the outside, or if you happen to be at the center of one, it can be a fairly intimidating experience. So as people of faith, we are called to open that circle so that people can come and go freely and that the circle has life and breath and movement.
So earlier in what you were saying, Shanna, your earlier comments about decentering, that prompts me to say we are decentered as a culture. We're all of us as a society, we're decentered. And this is destabilizing. And when people feel that sense of decentering and destabilization, we'll do almost anything for relief. You know, I'm reminded of, you know, when Moses is up on the mountain and Aaron and the folks are down below and they're like, where is our center? Where is Moses? Where is he gone? Why is he on the mountain so freaking long? Where's the center? We're lost.
Yeah.
And so the tendency then is, okay, let's make a golden calf.
Let's a new center.
Some kind of center that's really not worthy of being in the center.
Yes, humanity does not do well with a vacuum in leadership, generally speaking. We don't do well with vacuums, period.
Yeah.
In meaning, in leadership, so if there's a hole, we'll seek to fill it for sure.
Yeah, and I think, and I'm claiming something even more than that, which is the vacuum of leadership is more fundamentally known or more fundamentally understood as a vacuum of morality or a vacuum of transcendence. I don't want to necessarily put it in totally theistic terms, the absence of God, but one could. Mm-hmm. There's a transcendent order that is lost. We've lost it. Shifting gears a little bit, let's go back and listen to more sound from our interviews. We're going to hear now responses to the question, what makes America great?
Tell me about, if you would, I'm curious about the greatness of America from your point of view. What makes America great?
Well, first of all, I think because it's based on God, you know, and we have a wonderful president that has enhanced it. When the other president was in before him, did nothing. But Trump is really, you know, I think because he accepted the Lord and stuff, I think God inspires him to do good things for us.
American greatness is one of my questions, and I've been asking people from their point of view, what does make America great?
From my perspective, the freedom, the right to free speech, the right for people to express themselves, and the right to make their way in life.
Part of what I'm asking people is about American greatness, since the slogan is Keep America Great Again, and just curious to find out from people how they view American greatness. What to you makes America great?
Well, America has been the peacekeeper around the world. I mean, if it wasn't for America coming into World War II, the world would be an entirely different place. I think, you know, it's also helping people stay free. Other countries looking for freedom. Not all people in all countries want to be free, surprisingly, but for those who do, America's behind them to help them out. So that's what I think America, to making keeping America great is.
Hi, I do a podcast. I'm wondering if either of you are interested in having answering a couple of questions. First question is, from your point of view, what makes America great?
There's natural disasters in other countries. This country is the first to jump in there with its military and give them all the help they need.
Yeah, yeah. So that kind of spirit of helpfulness to others.
You know, we give. We're not takers, we're givers.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So what struck me in some of those answers was the disconnect between what those supporters say makes America great and what our president actually does. They're contradictory. The most apparent example of that was, Shana, if you heard, you know, a couple of those folks point to the post-World War II global order that America has led as being part of American greatness. And Donald Trump has done way more than anyone to undermine that order. So it's a contradiction. There's a disconnect. And human beings, we're prone to contradiction, but then there are some things we just need to get clear on and be straight with. What else did you want to say, Shana, about our experience?
I want to make it clear to our listeners that, you know, one of the overarching takeaways is that you can't, obviously this is not a homogenous group of people. Chris and I are profoundly aware of that. No group of people is. So, you know, there were people who were a lot of fun and great to talk to on the line. And some people, there was one guy I had a conversation with about a Star Island, which is an island in the Isles of Shoals, and he happens to fish there. And we got off on this conversation. It probably lasted a half an hour. And, you know, we're having a perfectly happy time and we're, you know, getting along as long, you know, we didn't switch to politics with him. So, I mean, you know, there were some very nice people in the line, and I want to be clear about that. And there were some people who were very aggressive in the line, very aggressive, you know, nasty T-shirts, very aggressive T-shirts. And to be honest, and we have to confess that we have that capacity on the left as well. It doesn't look good on anyone is all I'm going to say about that. Here, I'm going to put this question out to our listeners. I did have one woman who, I was wearing a belt that had peace signs on it, and she remarked that if I was wearing peace signs on my belt, that she was no, and I didn't understand that those were an affront to Christianity, that I was no Christian she wanted to speak to. So if anyone understands that statement, please send us an email. Or you know, click on our Facebook page and let us know, because that one just, I just thanked her and moved on, but I was pretty confused by that. The only thing I could come up with was that we had flipped the cross upside down and broken it, and there are some Christians who find that offensive, but that's just a guess. So if anybody knows anything about that, send us an email.
Thank you, Shana, for reminding me and for reminding our audience that the group of people at the Trump rally, that crowd is not a monolith.
They're less monolithic than they think they are.
Right. Yeah. We need to make generalizations, and at the same time, we need to recognize that there are limitations to the generalizations that we make.
Yep. And then there was one gentleman that we approached right at the end, and this guy was great because, I mean, he just had the look. He had the straw hat and the striped shirt and the bow tie, and I mean, he looked like something out of sort of a Midwest Iowa cornfield, and we just thought he looked so interesting. And so we had to go up and talk to him. He was himself very articulate, but he refers to Donald Trump as a brilliant orator. And at that point, you know, it was sort of late in the day, and my cognitive dissonance had sort of had enough at that point. And I was just waiting for my teeth to fall out of my head, because I just don't even know. Like, I don't even know how to respond to that. You know, and people, he's a, you know, he's such a brilliant orator. Okay, well, thank you very much for speaking to us. This has been an episode of What in God's Name. He's Chris Owen, and I'm Shayna. Yeah, I just, at that point, I had a bag out.
But Shayna, he is a brilliant orator. Or at least he has some of the qualities of a brilliant orator. The way he holds people's attention, he hooks them in. He gets people excited. Admittedly, that's not all of what good oratory is, but that's part of it. That's a part of it.
We'll see.
I don't want to defend Donald Trump as a brilliant orator, but part
I think you just did.
I don't want to, but I just did. But part
that
of
which
brilliant,
I wish to do, I do not.
Part of brilliant oratory is holding your audience. He holds them.
Okay. I mean, I can't argue with you. He definitely holds he holds his base. Okay.
I'm Chris Owen. Shayna calls me Ginger Boy.
And I'm Shayna Appel, the Brown Berry Girl. And you've been listening to the first episode in season 2 of What in God's Name.
We're so glad you could join us. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, please share your favorite show with a friend, with your social network. We are building out our audience, and we're so grateful that you have spent the time with us. We're looking forward to spending more time with you. You can find us on Facebook at What in God's. You can find us on our website, whatingods.com, WHATINGODS. Shayna, great to see you.
Good to be back in the saddle, Chris. We'll see you next week.